Now, if you've been here on any of these Sunday evenings in kind of recent weeks, you know we're reading through Acts at the moment, and we're kind of pausing to go at a kind of slower pace than some of the paces we've been at. We're reading from Acts 20. We're thinking particularly about this address of Paul to the elders of the church in Ephesus. This is kind of Paul's farewell message to these elders. He knows he'll never see them again. He'd been involved in the planting of the church there. He loves these folk. He's got their best interest in heart. But in the midst of all this, he also shares a great deal about his ministry among them, and also now what he sees as happening in his ministry in the future. So we're going to think particularly about verses 22 to 24, but we're going to read in from verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. And I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank God once again that he can gather again this evening in this gathered worship service. As we continue with our series on Acts, today we are on Acts chapter 20, thinking about Acts verses 22 to 24, just these three verses. Our theme tonight is, when I was thinking about these verses, I just thought about a theme that says, "A conscript and not a volunteer." A conscript and not a volunteer. I want to start by thinking about these questions. If you knew that great troubles are awaiting you at work tomorrow or at home, or wherever you are going after this service, if you knew great troubles are awaiting you at work tomorrow, at home, or wherever you are going after this service, but also know that the Holy Spirit is saying, "Go there," will you go? Should start our thinking with that question. Will you go when you know that troubles are awaiting you where you are about to go, but the Holy Spirit is saying, "Go"? The other question is, Do you count your life so valuable as to disobey the Holy Spirit? Do you count your life so valuable as to disobey the Holy Spirit? Or do we count the cause of Christ more valuable? And are we willing to do whatever is necessary to finish our race well? Or the other question could be, is your life dear or disposable for the cause of Christ? Is your life so dear to you, or is it disposable for the cause of Christ? So in this passage of scripture that we read tonight, these few verses that we have read, we pick up the life of the Apostle Paul at the end of his third missionary journey. And while going about areas of Galatia, Asia, and Macedonia, establishing and confirming churches in the faith, Paul collected some money for the financially destitute Church of Jerusalem. Now he is at Miletus for a few days, as his book, The Ship, is being resupplied and prepared for the journey. The few days were going to be some idle time for Paul. He knew that he was going to spend a few days at Miletus. So the few days were going to be some idle days, idle time for him. So he called out for the elders from Ephesus to come to Miletus. He did not want to waste time. He called for the house church leaders. The Bible talks about elders from Ephesus, but these were actually pastors who were leading house churches in Ephesus, because there were no church buildings like these, the ones we have now, these sanctuaries. So Christians would gather in houses. Each house would be having a leader or a pastor. So Paul called for the church leaders, the house church leaders, to come to walk some 30 miles from Ephesus to Miletus, so that they could come and listen to Paul, to meet Paul, and to listen to him. So because Paul was very important to them, and they valued his teachings as a leader and a church planter, the leader sacrificed and traveled, walked the whole day, the 30 miles to Miletus, so that they could have a time with Paul and hear what he wanted to say to them. So verses 18 to 35, the section that we have read this evening, is a farewell address, like what David has already mentioned. This is a farewell address to these church elders. Verse 18 to 21, he starts off by giving them a recollection of his past ministry among them in Ephesus. He starts off by reminding them of how he worked in their midst during his time for the 3 years that he was in Ephesus. But the verses that we want to think about, verses 22 to 24, Paul is talking about his intention to follow the Spirit's leading. He is telling them about how he does his ministry. He is telling them that I intend to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. He says, I am being compelled by the Spirit. He says, I am under compulsion. I am being compelled. I am bound by the Spirit of God. I am bound by the Holy Spirit. So that is what we want to think about tonight, how Paul considered his ministry, how Paul regarded himself as he participated in God's mission. Verse 25 to 31, which we did not read tonight, Paul will exhort the elders concerning their ministry, and 31 to 35, he makes a commendation of these elders to God. So we said we want to think about especially verse 22 to 24, Acts 20. Our theme being a conscript and not a volunteer. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing these words correctly. I hope you are hearing, you are getting them. A conscript and not a volunteer. The Apostle Paul demonstrated a life of following Christ as a life under conscription. To Paul, the life of following Christ was a life which could be considered a life under conscription of the Holy Spirit. When one reads about his ministry, one gets an image of someone under someone who looks like someone under military conscription. Military conscription refers to forced and compulsory enrollment into the army. For everyone in a country, once they reach a certain age, forced and compulsory enrollment into the army for everyone in a country, or for every citizen of a country, once they reach a certain age. History has it that the method of military conscription was first used in China when emperors used compulsory conscription to be able to amass huge armies. So in verse 22, actually it is verse 22 that made me think about conscription. Verse 22 says, where Paul is saying, I am being compelled by the Spirit. It shows that the compulsion was desirable to Paul. He loved it. He loved the forced conscription. He said, I am being compelled by the Spirit. I am bound by the Holy Spirit. What it means is that Paul got to know that his own desire to preach the gospel was in fact a prompting by the Holy Spirit. His own desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ was in fact a prompting of by the Holy Spirit. His desire became a need. That desire to him became a need. It became like a physiological need, something that you could not do without. It became a need. The desire to preach became a need as the Holy Spirit compelled him, as the Holy Spirit continued to compel, to bind him. The desire became a need, and it grew. It became a passion, to grow into a passion. Now the passion became an obsession, meaning a single-minded compulsion to do as the Holy Spirit directs. every follower of Jesus Christ, not just a few super committed ones, not just ministers, not just pastors, is called to this attitude that Paul had. Every follower of Christ is called to this total, all out, lay down your life kind of commitment. We should be hot for Christ. We should be hot for him and not be lukewarm. We should be hot for Christ, just like Paul was. Preaching should be a need. We should feel bound by the Spirit. So I then compared conscription with volunteering, and I thought a Christian should not consider himself or herself as a volunteer. We often send wrong messages when we say we are looking for volunteers to serve Jesus in a certain area of life, of ministry. Of course, volunteering is okay, but I think it should be the conscripted who should volunteer to serve. Those who feel the need, who feel that saving Christ is a need which they cannot do without. The problem of viewing ourselves as mere volunteers, as ordinary volunteers, is that if one can choose to serve, then one can also choose not to serve. If one can choose to serve, then one can also choose not to serve. Or one can end up choosing to quit serving if the service is not to one's liking. One can end up quitting serving if the service is not to one's liking. So we need to be conscripts. We are conscripts, brethren. We are conscripts, friends. We don't have a choice. If we want to follow Christ, we should consider ourselves as conscripts. If you are drafted into the army, you serve because you were chosen to serve. We serve because we were chosen to serve. That should be our attitude, that it's not by choice to serve, but we joyfully serve. We like the conscription. We like God's choosing. We know it. On our own, we wouldn't choose this. On our own, we wouldn't choose to preach. On my own, I wouldn't choose to be a minister to preach the gospel. I wouldn't. I wanted to do something else. If you look at my profile or my curriculum vitae, you'd find that I started off as a teacher, a diploma in education. Then I started studied for Bachelor of Commerce, Human Resources, became a Human Resources Officer. I did a lot of things. I had the calling inside, but I was trying to run away. I wouldn't choose. It required God to choose me, to call me and to conscript me. So if you are drafted into the army, you serve because you were chosen to serve. I was speaking to Amy, our own Amy Mustard, on Tuesday when we were having the Tuesday at 2 dinner, Christmas dinner on Tuesday. And I was saying to her, I am amazed to see a young person like you loving God like what you do in a context where people of your age would ridicule or would think you are stupid to love God. And Amy said, it's not something that I chose. And I liked that answer. She said, I didn't choose that. Actually, God chose me. And I saw the attitude of a conscript, one who knows that I serve because I was chosen to serve. It made me remember my experience at Milburn Academy this other day when I was speaking to the pupils in the S1 class. And during question time, one of the pupils asked me, "Why did you choose to become a Christian?" And I said, "I didn't choose. I didn't choose to become a Christian. Actually, I was chosen by God. I didn't choose God. I was chosen so that I could save him. He saved me. He chose me. And that's why I have a testimony that I can bring to you, because he chose me. Otherwise, I was running away from him. The only thing that I could do was to run away from him, but he chose me anyway." So we are conscripts. We were chosen. We were drafted by God into ministry, into whatever. He gave us gifts that he expects us to use. So when you are, I was just thinking about soldiers who are conscripted. When you are conscripted as a soldier, you may not like the food that you are given while serving in the army. You may not like your living quarters, the barracks. You may not like them. They might not be looking well. They might not be warm enough. You may not like where the army assigns you to go. But you serve anyway, because you are under orders. You enjoy the orders. You enjoy the conscription of God. God's conscription actually is enjoyable. It's a conscription that gives you freedom that you enjoy. You would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for conscripting me." It's unlike other conscriptions where you are forced to do something that you don't like. But God makes us, he puts the desire in us so that serving becomes a need. It becomes a passion. It becomes an obsession. So we serve because you are under orders, and we enjoy the orders. Paul considered himself like that. To the Corinthians, Paul said, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." He said, I have nothing to boast about preaching about serving God, because it's not by my own choosing. I am compelled to do that. If I don't do that, woe to me. Paul was saying, "I am a conscript. I am not a volunteer." From the passage that we read, verse 22, he said, "And now I am going to Jerusalem, drawn there irresistibly by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what awaits me there, except that the Holy Spirit has told me in every city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love." Paul had received a ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he received it. It makes us think of Paul of Acts chapter 9 on his Damascus road, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. That was where he got his turning point. He was attacking Christ, and then Christ meets him on the way. Instead of Christ demonstrating his wrath upon him, Christ said, I want to turn you into my own servant. I want to conscript you into my army. Such kind of grace, Paul would have expected Christ to attack him, but Christ showed mighty kindness and love. So Paul wanted to continue to preach, to finish the task that Christ gave him. What lay in his course, whatever would lay in his course, like what the Holy Spirit would always remind him, that you are going to meet bonds, afflictions, or even death on your way, it mattered nothing. He said, nothing moves me. Nothing of those things that the Holy Spirit have been warning me about, nothing moves me. Bonds and afflictions were the minor issues to him. And they were also overshadowed. They were always overshadowed by the major issue. The major issue of preaching the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. He said, I am going to Jerusalem not knowing. The not knowing of Paul meant not caring to know. He was saying, I am going to Jerusalem not caring to know, not asking to know, preferring not to know. That was the not knowing that we find here. His not knowing what awaits me, his not knowing was some kind of ignorance that was caused by a perfect rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be the attitude of all those who are walking in an appointed course in the service of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ described what should happen to anyone who wishes to come after him. Mark 8, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, and this is a quotation from the Living Bible, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your own pleasures and shoulder your cross and follow me closely. If you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, the sake of the good news, will know what it means to really live. This is the description of the Lord Jesus Christ of the people who may want to follow him, the characteristics or the qualifications of the people who may want to follow him. I was reading about James Calvert, who went out as a missionary to the Fiji Islands. Maybe you call them Fiji Islands, I don't know. The captain of the ship sought to turn him and his team back, to turn them back. The captain of the ship said, you will lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages, describing the people in the islands. The captain was laughingly warning James Calvert and his team that if you go and minister amongst these people, you will lose your lives, you will be killed, you will die. And Calvert replied, we died before we came here. We died before we came to the Fiji Islands. So that's the kind of people that are needed by Christ, the conscripts that are needed by Christ, who consider themselves dead. After high school, I tried to join the army in Zimbabwe. So I went for an interview at the Zimbabwe Military Academy, spent 2 weeks there, and they were showing us around, telling us what we will encounter, what we will experience in the training. One of the things that they told us is that when you start this training, please bid farewell to your relatives, to your family, because you will be like a dead man when you come here. You die for the 18 months that we will be with you here. You will be dead. And after the training, you resurrect. You resurrect. You come to life again. You can meet your relatives again. So I just thought about that when I read about James Calvert's reply when he said, "We died before we came here. We died before we came here." Those faithful missionaries had their lives completely sold out to Jesus Christ. Their lives were completely sold out to him. So Christ Jesus bought us with his blood. We belong to him as his slaves. We know whose we are and whom we serve. Paul spoke happily of being a slave of Jesus Christ. He would always put up his salutations in his, he would introduce himself in his letters as a slave of Jesus Christ. He made it clear that his ultimate allegiance and loyalty was neither to himself, was neither to his family, his country, or to anyone other than Jesus Christ. His time was not his own to spend. His mind was not his own to think about whatever he pleased. Slaves do not choose to serve. They are under orders. And in the case of slaves of Jesus Christ, they enjoy the orders. They are expecting orders every time. That we are expecting more orders from our master. And we will do whatever he directs us to do. So the Apostle Paul looked at life from a higher perspective than most of us. And that is the perspective that he wanted to pass on to the church leaders from Ephesus. He wanted to pass on that attitude to them so that they would be able to run their race and finish the race like he was doing. Self-preservation was not high on his list of priorities. Of course, wherever he found an opportunity to argue for himself, he would do that, but self-preservation was not high on his list of priorities. He was prepared to lose both liberty and life itself in the cause of Christ. He had just written a letter to the Romans while the 3 months that he spent in Corinth. And he had just told the Romans in his recent letter that he considered himself killed all day long for the cause of Christ, counting himself as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8, verse 36. So, a conscript for Jesus Christ exhibits characteristics that I might want to outline. They are characteristics of the life of a conscript. The life of a conscript is a disposable life, a life that despises itself. So I may ask, what will it take to move you from your faith? Paul said, "Nothing moves me. I have to finish my task. Do you have a relationship with God that says, as long as this goes right in my life, I will follow you, Jesus, but if it doesn't, then forget it? We cannot have such a mercenary relationship with God, a mercenary relationship with God that says, I will serve him as long as he gives me the goodies I expect. He has already given us eternal life, but there will be blessings and trials along the way. Paul said, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear. He was already thinking about his death. He was saying to these elders, I may die. This could be the last time that I am speaking to you. He was already anticipating his death. But he said, I want to do something worth dying for. I want to preach a gospel which is worth dying for. We should also preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is worth dying for. It is superior to all other messages. It is superior to the messages of moral reform that just say, let us pull ourselves up morally. Christianity is greater than morality or respectability. Moral reform is good, but the gospel of just moral reform is not worth dying for. We should preach the good news about the might kindness of God and the might the greatness of God's love. It is that gospel which is worth dying for. We should desist from preaching just a gospel of just social action and social improvement. It is good, but it is not worth dying for. So, a conscript shows a life that is disposable. A conscript values the gospel of Jesus Christ. A conscript also delights in sacrifice. A conscript is ready to be used by God like chalk. When I was a teacher in Zimbabwe, we would use chalk. Nowadays, teachers are no longer using chalk to write on the chalkboard. The chalk is rubbed off a hard surface to write. While it is being used, it gets finished as it is rubbed on a hard surface. So if we live a life of like a conscript for Jesus Christ, we should be prepared to live a life like that of a chalk, being rubbed off a hard surface in order to paint a beautiful picture for Jesus Christ, for the cause of Christ. We should be prepared to be used like a chalk, being rubbed off a hard surface in order to paint a beautiful picture. We should be ready to be used like a candle. I am seeing the candles here. They are shining bright and yet decreasing with that shining. They are shining, but I don't know whether these ones are decreasing. But normally candles that are ordinary, they shine, but they will be decreasing with the shining. That's how conscript are used by God. They will be wasting away, like what Paul said. He said, outwardly, we are wasting away, but inwardly, we are being built up. So you'll be shining, yet you are being expanded by that shining. So I will finish by this thought. About a missionary called Amy Carmichael, who was an Irish Christian missionary in India for 55 years, and she said, missionary life is simply a chance to die. Missionary life is simply a chance to die. So it can only be taken up by those who enjoy being conscripts for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you conscripted us, you drafted us into your army. We thank you for the privilege to participate in your mission. We want to thank you that you openly told us that we did not choose you, but you chose us. And you gave each and every one of us gifts that you expect us to use for your service. We want to thank you, Father, that you might enable us to live a total and all out, lay down your life commitment to you. We want to thank you for the example of Apostle Paul, who was committed to your service. Help us to make the preaching of your gospel a need, a passion, an obsession, so that we may be fruitful in our time and then make an impact for the kingdom. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be obedient to you always. We thank you for speaking to us with what you inspired Paul, the Apostle Paul, to write. You inspired Dr. Luke to record for us so that we could learn from those who came before us to enjoy conscription into your service. We thank you, Father, and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.